What's up? This is MC Lars. You are listening to Journey into Comics.
You!
And here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, a podcast about comic books, video games, movies, television, and everything nerd, with your hosts, Nate Phillips and Brandon Stone.
You're gonna see some serious shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Journey into Comics. This is episode 131. I'm your host, Nate, and today joining him is my co-host, Brando, who we're in your home right now.
We're in my game room.
Hey, we're in Studio B.
B room 2.
Yeah, B room. It's weird because Studio A kind of is retired.
Yeah.
Like the original Studio A is done, and then Studio B is pretty much primary. And then even Studio C has been mostly retired. Like B has become A.
Yeah, pretty much. And we christened Studio B. It was in the other room.
Whoa. Christened is a totally different word now on Journey into Comics. Don't use that word.
You're right. Forgot. Sorry.
Oh, damn. I just hit the table. I forgot. I'm sorry. But
Blaine did say that he was never going to look at those steps the same. And I'm like, sorry.
You're just like, they're just steps. They're just steps. Step on them.
They've been vacuumed.
I'm sure they have. So anyways, it's a busy weekend for us here.
Yes.
We are, let's reiterate to our audience for the 1,997th time, we are 1 week out from LaFiCon. We're going to be hosting that event.
We will be hosting all the panels and happenings on the stage, including a live recording of episode 132 of Journey to Comics.
Awesome. Awesome. I really kind of wish it would have fallen, like, if we would pick a number. Like, we're really close to, like, 144. We could have talked about, like, Walking Dead 144. But 132, I don't know. I'll have to go through all my comics and maybe look to see if there's a key issue that's 132. Maybe there's something in X-Men.
I don't know.
That might be the way to go. Uncanny X-Men, for sure.
Now, it definitely seems like most of the JIC family will be present at LaFiCon. At last heard, Wes is giving us a thumbs up that he'll be there. Blaine's going to be there helping us out. Mike's going to be there for sure because he isn't going to second, or I almost want to call it second shift, but it's like a weird like 12 to 8:30 shift.
Weird.
Yeah, he's going on a weird shift here soon, but that got delayed a couple weeks.
That worked out nicely, so now we're going to have him. Obviously, Foodies Watching Movies co-host Veronica will be here. I don't know, maybe Poor Boy will show up. He hasn't told me officially if that's happening.
And we haven't heard officially for sure if Patrick from Journey to Wrestling would be there or... I do know that Silent Rob will be there as well.
Cool, cool. It's exciting. We're actually going to be, you know, live from LaFiCon doing 132. Then obviously the after parties, Walk Among Us, blah, blah, blah. But today we've got kind of an amalgamation of news. There's not a ton of stuff going on. We're not going to be covering the Walking Dead show this week. You're behind, which is okay. Happens. It's happened to the best of us. All I will tell you about that episode, just to quickly riff, is that it pretty much sets up exactly what you've been saying is going to happen for like weeks.
Because we did that big conversation about the whole Holly situation.
Correct. Holly has been replaced, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's, as far as I can see how they're playing it, it looks like that's the route they're going to go. But Brando, we're here this weekend to, other than just to record a podcast here, we did Game Addicts earlier. We're doing another special podcast later. We're going to go where LaFiCon is going to be this coming weekend and actually make sure all of our stuff is cool and how we want it to be. Mm-hmm. And then it's pretty much on, man. And we just got a week of waiting.
Yeah, I got some podcast editing to do. Of course, this episode, which you guys are hearing on Monday, and then the newest episode of Game Addicts. You just said we did one. That's actually like, I think episode 26, and we still haven't recorded 24 yet. It's going kind of weird because after LaFiCon, we're going to have to, like, the week after that, we're still going to be busy. We have the Walking Dead finale. We have WrestleMania reviews for JIC, JIW. But after that, I want to, like, take a step back and, like, slow down and kind of just chill out, play some games, spend some time with the family. But the thing about that is that we're not going anywhere because you guys are going to have enough content because the week after LaFeeCon, see, and I haven't decided that if we're going to post the LaFeeCon show, if that's going to be like the week after or if that's going to be, because we have to do the Walking Dead review. So we're going to do the week after. Is that going to be the show that goes up like a whole week and maybe 2 weeks after Walking Dead's over, we do that or we haven't discussed it.
I think that if we're just riffing here, the way to maybe do it would be to use live at LaFeeCon. It's not going to be really timely. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on, but we can, you know, it's obviously going to be 132. We'll just put it out maybe that Saturday as like a special or Sunday, you know, if we like the next available time and then plan to record our Walking Dead maybe in the middle of that week.
Well, yeah, well, we just need enough episodes to fill out the month of April. Because what I want to do is that we have the LaFeeCon episode, then we're gonna be recording the panels. So then I'm gonna put together an episode with the panels, and what I'm gonna do is that I want to have us record. We're gonna link together and we're gonna record us talking about what you're about to hear. What's this panel?
Oh, that's cool.
So we're just gonna do like a quick insert of, you know, it's gonna be almost kind of like a best of put together show. It's like. Like, do you remember when WWE used to do the end of the year thing and they would just have Coach and JR or Michael Cole, they would be sitting up high up in like a arena somewhere and they would just talk about some of the happenings that happened that year, some of the big matches, and they would show clips. It's kind of like that where you and me are going to be talking about the LaFeeCon experience. What was it like a little bit? Where it's a little bit more peeling back like the curtain a little bit from our side. What was it like? What all did we do? Was there any cool stories? And then it's like, okay, here's this panel that we did. And then, okay, now here's this panel. Here's who it is. And a little preface on who this person is. And just a little bit just to give you like an insight on what you're about to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so there's going to be that episode. There's going to be the Metalcast, which we're doing tonight, Metalcast 3. And then we have that. So the Walking Dead, LaFeeCon, PanelCon, Metalcast. That's the rest of April. And then we're not going to get back together to do a full-on Journey into Comics like timely news episode until May, right when Guardians is coming out.
Oh yeah, and I'm so jacked for Guardians. Actually, I've got a couple articles on Guardians. Funny that you bring that up. Nothing too major here. I'm gonna probably have to filter through like every fucking thing. I have like
every tab that you have.
I have like 20 tabs open here. Let's see if this one is not it. That is not it. That is not it. That is not it. I know these aren't it. What we're kind of doing this week, Brando, for our audience who's like, what the hell are they doing? This week, we're just doing tab news. It's like, what did we call that episode?
Random Headlines.
Random Headlines. Yeah. That was 68 plus one. Random Headlines. Don't ask why I remember that so well. Okay, here we go.
I'm surprised my toddler hasn't screamed yet.
He on did. Cue. That was scary.
He didn't scream. He said,
ew. I guess I don't have any real Guardians news. They released tickets. Tickets are available for sale. Now you can buy your tickets to Guardians in May. Released a bunch of character posters. They're pretty cool. IMAX poster came out. Nothing too spectacular, but in Marvel news, I've got a couple things. Go ahead, Brandon.
Guardians, the new Guardians of the Galaxy Telltale game comes out. Chapter 1 comes out a week or two before the movie.
Time out. What?
Guardians of the Galaxy Telltale game.
When?
End of April.
Sign me the fuck up.
You didn't know about it?
No.
Wow.
I actually have just been blindsided by this.
It's going to be more it's going to be more comic based.
Multiplat.
I assume. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, yeah, they're all multiplat, aren't they? I wonder. I just wonder so much because sometimes you can hear my toddler, like just scream into the kitchen.
Yeah,
is he saying moo moo?
It's not really that it's loud. It's just that this window's open and the kitchen window's open, which is fine. It's nice out. It's by the way, you know, we usually do a Journey into Comics like weather update.
I do it on. I do that on, sometimes on Game Addicts now too, where we just go, man, it's nice out. Man, it's cold out.
Well, it, you know, it's weird because. 2 days ago, Thursday, which is not 2 days ago to you listening. It's more like 4 or 5 days ago or maybe a year, depending on your time preference.
Whenever you discovered Journey into
Whenever
Comics.
You found us. But it was like 34 degrees, and we like to use the term bitch-ass cold because it's just bitch-ass cold, you know? And then yesterday, which was Friday, it was 75 degrees. I had to run to Wendy's. I drove to Wendy's with the windows down and sweated the whole way. Like, I didn't turn on the fucking air conditioning already. I didn't. I just let the breeze happen, you know, whatever. And then, like, last night at, like, 7:30, a wind came through and it dropped everything back to around 40 degrees. And when I got up this morning, it was still around 40 degrees and raining. And then when I got here, it's like 68 degrees. And I'm just like, Indiana, calm the fuck down. Too many seasons in one day.
Well, you live closer up there to the lake, too, so you get that lake weather.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, honestly, this year we were lucky. I thought that for sure we were going to run into, like, more really bad snows. We only really had the one that was really, really bad. Everything else has been pretty chill this year. But, Brando, a couple things here. Hot Toys, I think this is the article. Yeah, Hot Toys, right here it is. Released pictures for their upcoming line for Sony and Marvel's Spider-Man. And, you know, it's weird. I kind of want to talk on this for a second because a little bit of the spoilers happen here. It's weird to me how news breaks now. Because usually in the olden days when you would see a new character costume or you would see the final costume of the movie or whatever was either in trailer form or when you saw the movie. Mm-hmm. Now, you have things like this where they show you the Spider-Man Homecoming suit, which is pretty much the suit from Civil War. But if this will load, they actually are also releasing...
Oh, yeah, his little homemade
suit? That's the homemade suit, version 1.0. And there are a lot of pictures in here that show, like, in great detail.
Yeah.
It's a t-shirt and hoodie kind of get-up. He almost has, like, a Ben Reilly Spider-Man-esque look.
Yeah.
Looks like he's wearing Crocs and red socks.
Is he? Is he really?
They kind of look Croc-esque or, like, chef shoe-y.
Yeah, they're a little rubbery. They're not holes, but...
No laces.
You know what? One thing that I will say is that one thing that I think I'm just now noticing... that it's been the whole time. I'm really digging how, like, the logo for the movie is very, like, more modern, less cartoony, but it reminds me of the old 90s cartoon.
Yes, so much.
A
yes.
A little bit, yeah.
Now, to couple with Spider-Man, they've actually released a couple posters, one of which we posted on Journey into Comics. Did you see that?
Probably.
He's laying down, and he's in a Letterman's jacket.
Yep.
But you can see Avenger Tower in the background.
Does he have headphones on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that's awesome. But they also released another one, and I'm trying to get it to pull up. It's being a little slow here. It's probably because the amount of tabs I have open. I want to show you this one, too. But, man, with only, what are we, pretty much April. We'll call it April. May, June, July. Like, 3 months out from New Spidey. Less than a month out from Guardians. This is the year Marvel... This is 1 year ahead of schedule because originally Marvel was going to wait till 2018 to start doing the three movies a year thing.
Mm-hmm. No, Spider-Man changed
and
that.
Spider-Man getting into their universe, like, not only really changed it, it just, like, kind of rerouted everything. Inhumans went from being a movie to now it's a TV series, and I don't know. But here's one of the posters that they have. And, of course, these are just regular, you know, nothing too crazy, but that's he's heading home, if you will.
Right. You know? And now they have two spin-off movies.
Two? I just heard of one.
Well, they have the Venom one.
Correct.
And then now they have... it is Black Cat. And what's her name? Sable? Silver?
Silver Sable?
Silver Sable, yeah.
Really? They're doing another... That's interesting. Now that you're telling me that, here's one thing I know about the Venom movie. They've already come out and said it is not shared universe. Venom's movie is going to happen outside of itself. What interesting problem does that create, Brando? Who's going to be Spider-Man? How are you going to have Spider-Man? Or how are you going to introduce Venom into a world not have Spider-Man?
Because he has Spider-Man's powers.
Yeah, but how... Correct. But, like, and then how does the symbiote get here? And then how does Eddie Brock fit into any of that? Or if you're going to do a Flash Thompson story, again, none of these stories matter without Peter Parker. How do you do that? how do you say it's not shared universe? I just, it doesn't add up to me, man.
They should do a Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
And introduce Eddie Brock in that movie.
Yes.
And maybe introduce the symbiote in that movie.
Send that story and go into detail as the spinoff.
Because then we get the chance to see the black suit again.
Yep.
And then we get to see, you know, and then set up Eddie in this movie. Don't make him be the villain. He's a side character. He's the villain in the next movie. So we get the, ironically, we get Spider-Man 3 with Venom as the villain again. But then now we're setting it up. We're not building Spider-Man 3 around the Sandman and having this side plot with Eddie Brock, and he just suddenly gets the Venom suit.
It's like, hey, remember that guy that killed your Uncle Ben? He didn't kill your Uncle Ben. It was actually the Sandman guy who made this all happen. You remembered wrong, Peter. That's pretty much Spider-Man 3 in a nutshell. you remembered wrong, Peter Parker. The end.
New Goblin gets amnesia.
See, I think if you're going to do a Goblin in this series, if you're going to do a Goblin in the Marvel verse, as much as I want them to do Green Goblin, because I think they'll be able to do it, find a way to do it right.
Yeah,
I think they need to tackle Hobgoblin. Like, I think that needs to be, if you want to separate yourself, look, Hobgoblin is fundamentally the same character. The only differences are he's not Parker's friend. So there's not this hidden animosity between people who are also secretly friends, who are also secretly hating each other and have no idea. But, or you know, father of, depending on how you look at who the Green Goblin was. But then with the Hobgoblin, with no allegiance to friendship, Hobgoblin can be fucking brutal. Thing is, though, is you just kind of change the game with the making Vulture the first bad, which is cool. Vulture's one of the earliest bads in Spider-Man history, so logically speaking, the next one, do we get Doc Ock for Spider-Man 2?
See, I don't know, and like that's why like maybe you could do Doc Ock and then save Goblin for much, much later, like, and just kind of change the, maybe kind of like the events of happenings of like lore, where he meets Harry a little bit later and then gets involved with Oscorp later. I mean, we're talking like, in my mind, I'm going like Spider-Man 4.
Yeah.
By the time we get to Goblin. But then like, just like how Batman, what they did, the Joker, the Penguin, Catwoman, Riddler, Two-Face, and then by the time you get to Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy, and then they went, like when they started all over again, they went with
Scarecrow.
Well, I don't really consider him to be the villain of the first movie. He's there.
Raj was the first.
Yeah. So you have Ra's al Ghul. That's what I call him.
Ra's, Raj, Raz, Raz. You, it's not Raz.
Well, your voice is razzing right now.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little raspy, but like that's a cool, like, I kind of think what you're doing with the Vulture is the same thing. Let's take this character everybody already knows, and let's put a villain in there that not everybody knows.
Yeah.
And then let's make this character more relevant. Could you, because this isn't the first Spider-Man movie that people have seen by this point.
By this point, it's the sixth.
And in reality, they did it again with the Lizard. By having the Lizard be the first villain, you're doing the same thing, because the other series did Goblin first, which is fine. Really, that's probably what you're supposed to do. First movie with this major character, just like Batman did the Joker first. It's Batman Joker. It's Spider-Man Goblin.
Sure. You know what I think no superhero movie has like fully captured, and this is going to kind of encapsulate what I was about to say anyway, so it's kind of all ties together, but with Tom Holland being Spidey, and you're talking much later introducing these characters down the road, you said Spider-Man 4 or 5. I don't think Spider-Man 4 or 5 happened. Not because Tom Holland's not going to be Spider-Man, not because Tom Holland's not going to be involved in Marvel. I think he's going to be leading the Avengers, and he'll be doing more Avenger pieces. Mm-hmm. But what I want to say from that is, I think it would be so interesting, Brando, if they did an Avengers story. Let's say Annihilator's coming to Earth, and you've got Parker and his Avengers team against Annihilator, and that's this big drama. But inside that big drama, you've got some putz like Shocker or somebody like Rhino who shows up just to try to like screw with Parker, who has no idea this other threat's happening. That's something we've not seen, where there are a multitude of villains who... Because the problem is that it's like, to me, in Batman lore, Batman 1, there was only the Riddler. That's all they ever mentioned was Riddler. Or not Riddler. Joker. Batman 2, it was Penguin, Catwoman. No mention of the Joker. He was dead. No mention that there's any possibility of any other villains. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. I want it to be where there's a wide array of villainry. And that maybe not all of them are out. Maybe not all of them are committing crimes. But at any moment, any one of them could. And Parker almost having to drop his self to do.
They kind of like, in the newer, like in Batman v Superman, where you had like the Easter eggs mm-hmm. with the question marks, with the Joker stuff mm-hmm. that they did in Suicide. It kind of creates that more air of more characters being involved.
Exactly.
And then in Batman and Robin, when Poison Ivy and Bane bust Freeze out of prison in the. And when, like where you have all the prisoners' effects and all their items that their personal items.
Riddler and Two-Face suit.
Yeah, the suits are up on the wall.
Doesn't make any sense. Two-Face is dead.
What? Bane.
The original cut of that where he's not on the mountain, he's actually in the thing, even though they're fighting on the mountain. What the fuck is happening? I'm so confused. Brandon, I'm gonna throw a random headline at you real quick, just to break this up here. Robert Rodriguez, I do believe that's the director,
right?
It's pulling up, so it's going to be slow. Robert Rodriguez is in line or is officially directing a remake of a series that I'm pretty sure you hold really near and dear to your heart. If this page will load, I'll make sure to read this all correctly. Again, too many tabs. But, Brando, while we're here, I want to also side note ask, if you could be put in charge of any one superhero to reboot, revitalize, revive, bring to the main big screen, debut it, be the writer, give a character life that maybe has or hasn't been properly done in your eyes as the you only get one.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going with? I mean, I know that in some ways you really do like how Batman has been done. And mm-hmm. I know in other ways some of the things that they've done with Spider-Man have not been terrible in your eyes.
Yeah.
But I also know there are things in both those series that you aren't necessarily a fan of.
If I had to pick one to try and make something out of that, either like a series or to just do it right.
Correct. Your main goal is, I don't care if it takes one story, I don't care if it takes 21 stories, this series has to be nailed properly because it's not been done how it could be.
The Crow.
Oh, I love it. Now, I have a question. Beautiful side note here. Do you believe in the Crow curse? Like, would that affect you in your ideologies of doing that? Because, I mean, it seems like every movie has had some terrible tragedy tied to it one way or another, whether it ends up not being made, somebody actually dies, someone else dies, something else happens. Like, there's just craziness.
I don't know. I mean, I really can't speak if I really believe on the curse. But I believe that the first movie was done very well. It's the best one out of the entire bunch. But then you get... Like, I have real issues with the second one, I have issues with the third one, and I have a lot of issues with the last one. And it's just, I
don't think I saw three or four. I saw one and two.
Three is probably the closest one in terms of, man, and even that, I think I might be giving it too much credit, where it's like, I think it's the closest to the first one in terms of quality. I didn't like the actor that got to play. The Crow, Ash.
Was that was three the kid that was in Terminator?
No, that was four.
That was four.
That was Wicked Prayer. That was
three DMX. Did that ever happen?
No.
Wasn't he in line to play the Crow or somebody like that?
they were gonna do like a rapper Eric Draven, but it never happened.
Gotcha.
No, three is the one where you had the boyfriend who got convicted of killing his girlfriend or his fiance, and then they executed him.
Whoa.
And the family was there to watch, and the sister was like, you know, like this guy's like, I didn't do it, you know, come on, it wasn't me, I love her. And then the sister of the girlfriend was played by Kirsten Dunst, and I want to say like the main character, though I don't know why I remember this, but he played the guy in the first Resident Evil movie that they took away, and that he became Nemesis.
Really?
For the second one.
Huh.
He was like that one guy where he's like, that guy could be Leon from Resident Evil 2. And he's like, no, he's just some guy. He's a former cop or whatever. And it's like, oh, okay. bring him for the Nemesis Project, and they wheel him away, and then never see him again. But it's the same actor. Since he was wearing the mask, they put like this mask on him, to execute him, mm-hmm. and then the mask burned onto his face. That's where and it's not makeup; it's scars. But in everyone I talk to, it's all mixed feelings. Some people like the second one better than the third one. I think the first one's the best. It's almost a masterpiece as far as like 90s storytelling. Yeah. But I mean, I just feel like that character, other than that first movie, it's never been nailed right again.
So my question to you is then, quickly, if you're going to reboot this, or if you're going to do it, do you reboot it and almost take the original story, Crow 1 movie, and try to just make it look better, maybe enhance the dialogue a little bit, not make a ton. I'm almost akinning this reboot to being like the Nightmare on Elm Street reboot they did, where mm-hmm. it's a real callback to the original.
Yeah.
Except for it's a little bit more enhanced because it's a more modern look and feel.
Yeah, I mean, there's special water to tread on because the movie is so high regarded, and plus it was Brandon Lee's final work. So I mean, you don't want to like steal from it, but you definitely want to showcase like what this started and like how they did it, how they did the original series. They had it where the first movie, and then since like it's the Crow itself isn't like the overall superhero character, it's each person coming back. So I would continue that mantra where mm-hmm. the first movie and the second movie is a different story with a different character, but with that in mind of going forward with the kind of ability to build a universe mm-hmm. now. Like nowadays, in a much better way.
Yeah,
where like maybe you get like a really kind of good profile actor to play the first one, and then you can turn around and work with this other actor to play the next one, and it's not all about you giving like this guy's got to now stand up to this guy's shoes in the Crow. It's like a different character,
and of course, you would make it to where every Crow has their own journey.
Yes.
And make it, you know.
And while they did that in the originals, I just kind of feel like there's not as much guidance. It didn't have the kind of the mind and money behind it that it really needed. Well, I really feel like there's a lot of inner turmoil behind the scenes.
And really planning movie to movie mm-hmm. isn't, because the evolving of technology.
They didn't have that big planning mindset nowadays, not like what you said with the whole like Power Ranger thing that you told me right before we went off the air.
Oh, yeah. But real quick before we get to the Power Ranger thing, I just want to say the little shocking thing. Did you know Escape from New York's getting remade?
I've heard rumblings about that for a long time.
Well, it looks like they found their director, and it is Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, who, that might be interesting.
Who did Sin City, Desperado, you know?
Yeah, he did. He's also done Spy Kids.
And The Faculty. Yeah, he's done a wide array of stuff, but it looks like he is in the driver's seat to be the guy that does that. So
see, and he could make a really good Escape from New York. Now it all lies in and as to who they get to play Snake Plissken, because
David Hayter.
you got a guy like Kurt Russell who's a great actor. Done so many different things, serious stuff, funny stuff, you know, but when you're talking about action movie hero, what?
Yeah.
He's done it too.
Yeah.
He played this awesome badass character, and
Kurt Russell's a legend, man.
He is.
He really is a fantastic actor.
Do you remember the movie he did, Soldier? Where like they get these kids and they just programmed them to be these badass soldiers, and like,
yes, and then, I do remember
like,
that.
He, like, he has like his name and like his rank or his number is like tattooed on his face.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And like, he really
like 97 or something.
Oh, dude, that movie was badass. And like, Gary Busey's like he's like the drill instructor or something.
Why? I feel like I saw that movie, but I don't feel like I've seen it enough to like.
He ends up getting separated from his crew, and he ends up getting like right in with his family, where like he like they're just like taking care of him on this trash planet where they dump all their trash, where like they're this galaxy or this system, and he like he starts to like feel emotions for this little kid, where like this little kid can't talk or whatever, and like they really baby him, and there's like this spider or something that's like gonna get him, and of course he's like trying to teach this kid, you stand up for yourself, you're gonna defend for yourself. So he like grabs like a boot, and the kid looks at him, and he goes, he like kind of shakes his head and just slams the boot down. Right, he goes slam it, and he throws the boot over or whatever, and the kid's like, I don't know, and then like the dad comes in and is like, what are you doing to my kid? He could have died. Blah blah blah.
For slamming a shoe?
Well, because this thing was gonna get him was like poisonous.
But
Kurt Russell's character is trying to teach him to
not be afraid,
and
just handle it,
you know, and seeing how this kid never talks, you know, like. He does so in such a cool way because he's not like yelling at him or doing anything. He's communicating with him on his level. He's showing him.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll have to go and rewatch that movie now.
It's a great movie.
Because I haven't seen it in a long time. But maybe not a great movie. We don't know. It just dropped yesterday, so we're going to wait and see the numbers. I haven't seen today's numbers, so I don't know. Power Rangers is now out, Brando.
Mm-hmm. Getting decent reviews from everything that I saw.
People who are nerds are raving about it. Actually, one of the people that I really look up to, who I heard was rumored for like the 2018 WWE Hall of Fame, Xavier Woods.
Oh my gosh.
That's a whole other drama, but he reviewed the movie like immediately after he got home. Yeah. He like did a little quick live stream on his YouTube, and he said it was really good and a lot of fun and not what he was expecting. And the takeaway from someone like that, who I know how much he loves Power Rangers, he had Jason David Frank on his show and just nerded out about Power Rangers as a whole. So for Xavier Woods to say that he liked it and that it was a great film is makes me more interested to see it.
With me hearing the reviews that I've heard about it, I haven't heard anything bad about it yet, which is that is really good. Because that is more than what I was expecting. I was expecting this to bomb.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's just my perception from what I've seen from the trailers. I can't remember who said it or if I read it somewhere. I think it might have been Tony. I said that he felt like this was going to be that they were going to Michael Bay the Power Rangers. And it looked very high tech. It looked very, like, modern day blockbuster. But, I'm really glad to be hearing that, you know, that it's doing at least good. Maybe it didn't blow your socks off, but with it being good, there's a good chance that we're going to get another one, maybe five more.
It looks like there is a six-film Power Rangers movie franchise planned. I will say, it says, Saban has always treasured the Power Ranger franchise. He just said that he kind of wants to have it to be essentially his own cinematic universe, which makes sense. Look, you have enough character-driven story there to do as many seasons of Power Rangers as they did. The idea that you could eventually turn Green Ranger, which I have a little article about that in a second, eventually turn Green Ranger into the White Ranger, the idea that you could bring different big bads, that the Machine Empire, you could bring Scorpina back. You know, Zed has not even made any kind of an appearance, and how amazing would it be to see a movie version of Zed, like, reimagined through Hollywood? It's just going to depend on this weekend
alone.
If they
could get Axelrod to play Zed for the movie.
Just do the voice.
Oh. Yes. Because, I mean, it's just a matter of it. They did it with Transformers.
Yeah.
When they got Prime.
Yep. And the guy that did Decepticon, or did Megatron too, right?
No, that was Hugo Weaving.
Really?
Yeah, he did Megatron.
Huh. I didn't know.
Yeah. Hugo Weaving is like King of the Nerds. He was in Lord of the Rings, Transformers, V for Vendetta, The Matrix.
Captain Dude. America?
Yeah. But yeah, Red Skull. Dude, he seriously... one day we're going to like... we're all going to wake up and find out that we all live in one big cinematic universe and it's all surrounded by Hugo Weaving.
Oh my God. That's actually hilarious. I would love to write that movie pitch. There's one guy. Everyone's connected to him. It's called Kevin Bacon. Right? 6 degrees of separation with Kevin Bacon. Anyways, really the idea of doing... six movies for this depends on this weekend alone. Mm-hmm. If it opens well, if it does good numbers, if the reviews are fully good, and I'm talking critics and fans alike, and the word gets out enough. I mean, look, just with Xavier Woods saying it, I'm like strongly considering doing a matinee tomorrow to see Power Rangers, just because I want to know. You know, like I don't with well, okay, to kind of go back a little bit in Journey into Comics history, when the Ninja Turtles were getting rebooted, there wasn't enough there that made me go, that isn't going to be bad bullshit. There was a lot of things wrong with the first Ninja Turtles trailers alone when they were rebooting it. The look of the turtles, the idea that Megan Fox is April O'Neil, and that just doesn't work for a modicum of reasons. This one has, however, like, while I'm not really a big fan of the more organic look, I understand. They said, you know, in that in this time that we live in, a lot of the things that happen are you have all these really edgy, lined characters. You look at your Megatrons and your and they're very liney. And they wanted something more round and organic looking. So that's why the feel of the costumes is more organic. That's why Alpha 5 isn't as robotic. That's why the Zords look a little bit weird. Now, I will say, again, we did talk about the eight legs, right?
No, I didn't.
You don't know about the eight legs?
No.
Mastodon has eight legs in this movie. It's right a little on. Funky. It's a little weird, but I'll let it slide. I'm interested in seeing where this goes. Now, I don't know anything about post credit scenes. I know there is one. I don't know what's in it. I refuse to take spoilers on this one. But there was a picture that was released, and I'm going to show it to you now to get your rapid reaction here.
You've heard the theory about Rita being she could like. There's a theory that she used to be the Green Ranger, like the old Green Ranger, and that's why her outfit looks the way it does.
Huh. I don't know, but that was a teaser image. You can't see it because there's they want you to watch their fucking video.
Their video.
But yeah, it looks like they're teasing Green Ranger is going to show up for the second movie.
Well, it makes sense because
it does.
That's the next, like after Rita coming in, that's like the next major big bad storyline coming in.
Now, I want to just really quickly share with you, and I know we're trying to keep our time down here, but Zio Ranger is where Power Rangers came from. And there's Dire Ranger, and there's all these different Japanese shows that they literally piecemealed together to create Power Rangers, right? They would take Zords from different Ranger shows.
Well, all right. Here's how it worked. In Japan, you have what's called Super Sentai Warriors, and that's Power Rangers, okay? And that show went for a little while before what became the Mighty Morphin series even happened.
Correct. I'm aware of that.
So you have the Mighty Morphin season. In Japan, you have shows that go like one season.
Now, the Mighty Morphin season, I know, like, surprisingly more than you would expect because Sarah and I and our buddy Cody have been watching Zio Ranger, the original Mighty Morphin, as is. So here are a couple differences I want to just really quickly throw your way that are really the more important thing. And I want to know if you think these would have any real effect. First of all, Zordon doesn't exist over there.
No.
That is an American-created character. The guy, there was actually a guy who was like Zordon. He was like the Zord, like the temple master, right? He has a name. I can't remember his name. But more importantly, this is the part of the thing that when like we just finished the Green Ranger saga and Zio Ranger. Do you know what's different? Yeah, over there in Zio Ranger, Tommy and Jason are brothers. And it makes the story so much better. It's a story of Jason didn't even know he had a brother. And it's this betrayal. And this guy turns evil and, you know, goes at him. And then there's a whole, oh, maybe we shouldn't hate each other. We're family. And it's really interesting. And then the Yellow Ranger is a man. It's not played by a woman. It's a man. But another thing, no Alpha 5, that all made up. Mm-hmm. No Zed. Lady Bandora, that's Rita. And then you've got Griff Zor, which is Goldar. Now, Griff Zor and Scorpina, who she has a weird name that's not Scorpina. It's like Lady Scorpia, blah, 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 blah. I can't think of it. Those two are like a love interest. And Goldar doesn't talk in the first part of that season until he meets her. And then he starts to use his words. But he's super slow and elegant. And he's just been quiet this whole time. And he's like this super knowledgeable being. But I really hope if Lionsgate and Saban are doing the Rangers, they're going to do it past one movie. They better be ready to not burn this thing out. Because they could fuck it up and burn it out really quick. Oh, yeah. And if this first movie does as good as I think it's going to, the second movie has to be better. Yep. No question. You can't. It can't be equal. It can't be almost as good. It has to blow people away.
Just kind of like how you had like I have like a list of movies where I think sequels are better, and I think of like Spider-Man,
Empire,
Dark Terminator 2.
Oh God, Terminator.
But like what you were saying earlier about them piecing together, what they would do, like they ended up doing that because when after the first season, of Mighty Morphin America went like 60, 70 episodes.
Yeah,
and then when they go into the Zed season, they get new Zords, and those Zords are from a different season.
Correct.
But their suits are still the Mighty Morphin.
Correct.
So now they have to find, now they have to film more here using the Mighty Morphin outfits.
Yep.
The White Ranger outfit is from the same season as the Zords.
Because
that's the only
Zords.
Character that you really see in original footage of him riding the Zord and him with Saba and all that stuff. And then they get into the Ninja, and that's another season, because you know how they have the Alien Rangers?
You know what's weird? That shit's on Netflix, Alien Rangers. You can rewatch it. I forgot all about it and stumbled upon it, and I was like, oh my God, I remember this.
The Alien Rangers were like, were they the original ninja, or they were like the Shogun? But then you get to the Machine Empire and the Zeo season, and that's the first time where they did a big reset.
Mm-hmm.
New look, new enemies, you know, and that was almost like starting the whole thing all over again. And really, that's what they did, because they destroyed the command center, the crystals were destroyed, the morphers wouldn't work correctly anymore. Yep. That's when they got the power coins were destroyed.
Correct.
And cracked. Then you had the Zeo crystal, which was then split into five, and then you had that season. And after that, they did Turbo.
Yep.
Which nearly killed Power Rangers in America, but it saved Sentai Warriors over in Japan.
Yeah.
Because it was a parody of itself.
Yeah.
And then midway through, they recasted people and they got rid of like Tommy and Adam and Kat.
Aisha, too? Did she go? She was Yellow Ranger?
They had Tanya and Aisha, but I don't remember which one was first. I think Tanya was first.
You know what? You're right. Tanya was first, and they got rid of her and they moved to Aisha.
But in the middle of Turbo, they got rid of all the people who had been around since at least the ninja phase. And then they got all new people. And then they went to space, met at the Ninja Turtles somewhere. And then they ended the series. And that is all big one story arc. Mighty Morphin to space. Because Zordon's still in there. Rita and Zed are still in there. And then after that, they started doing the one-offs, just like over Japan. Okay, this season we're here. This season we're SPD. This season we're
Wild
Dino Thunder.
Force. Yeah.
Yeah, so then they started doing that like that, because then it became less of a hassle to try and like create long-winded characters. But I never knew the story went that long, because once they got rid of like the long time like Tommy
series regulars, yeah,
and I sort of phased out. And
do you know, I gotta ask this, not to cut you off, I'm really sorry, but just so I don't forget it, in that arc you just spoke of, who's your favorite ranger?
My favorite ranger,
okay, and that encompasses, I'm not talking person. A lot of people say, oh, Tommy, and that you get the green, you get green and white onto that one, right?
Red.
And red, yeah,
and,
correct,
because you get Zio
and green and- again. He went green again or something, I think, right? In one of the series.
He was Black Ranger.
Black Ranger.
Was it Black or... Was that... he was Black Ranger in Dino Thunder.
Yeah, and then Jason was both red
and then gold.
And then gold. And personally, look alone, gold is my favorite look.
Oh, badass.
Because I loved the... He was very sleek while still being almost... He was almost like Green Ranger 2.0.
He was, and then if you notice, like, all their helmets had, like, they were all, like, the shapes where you had the one, and then you had the two, three, which is the triangle, the four, which is the rectangle, and then you had the five, which is the star, and his is, like, six...
The lines, yeah. He
had six lines or something.
I had that toy, and in third grade when we had to do the... Egypt thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wrapped him like my mummy and put him in my Undertaker coffin that I had. I think I got an A on that from Mrs. Butterworth, if I remember correctly.
My favorite's green. And I think it's the look. It's the mixture of like, you know, of course he starts off as like the villain, and it like the Japanese footage that they use for the show, even in that, he exhibits so much attitude,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's such a badass.
The crazy thing is, I don't know if you know this, but the back half of the season of ZU Rangers we're watching, the Green Candle story is already happening. As soon as Tommy is introduced, Rita gives him the Green Candle and says, this is how much time you have left. He's essentially put into this, like, he's locked in this room type place that is part of Rita's ship, I think,
mm-hmm.
or planet. And as long as he's in there, the candle won't burn down. But as soon as he leaves, the candle starts to burn down. And that's like a seasonal theme for that version of the Green Ranger, which, again, they adjust that a little bit and make it the where Tommy slowly, you know, and then they... But moving forward, I wanted to say... Just so we're staying on a little bit topic, we did. I want to say some point we should just do like a nothing but Power Rangers episode and like really nerd down, because there's like a there's a lot. Like, we could talk Zords and the different Zords that you like, and then the different Rangers, and then you could talk about the different big bads they had, the different mid range bads they've had. But I just want to say, did you hear about the big Deadpool rumor?
Which one?
Like the one that if it comes true, it would be the most shocking for me.
Go for it.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, okay, it's Cable.
Might actually be Cable. There were some leaked images. We don't know if they were photoshopped or not, of him as Cable. 20th Century Fox was a part of the copyright on that picture. I mean, honestly, man, it would be awesome because he's usually the megastar.
Yeah.
And to have him play the sidekick to Cable or to Deadpool, who is Ryan Reynolds, who just in that teaser trailer alone is just proving how amazing he is. He was built and born just to be Deadpool. Like, there's no other human. I could not cast, in my own humble opinion, a better Deadpool than Ryan Reynolds.
People were saying that all the way back with the first Wolverine movie.
Even though they didn't do it right.
No, yeah, but they were saying, oh, this guy's perfect. And I agree 100%. And he proved that in the first movie.
Speaking of interesting, weird things we'll probably never see, because I don't actually, maybe Cable won't be, maybe he will. Because also rumors are also that Michael Shannon, mm-hmm. who played Zod,
yeah,
also could be Cable. Which, listen, okay. But that's where you get into really funny territory, because then you have a situation where if Brad Pitt is Cable, at any point in the movie, Deadpool could be like, you kind of look like fucking Brad Pitt. And it's just a funny rib. It's not a big thing.
Or make jokes about Angelina Jolie or something.
About Angelina Jolie. Like, man, she, I don't know, like, nail her or whatever. But on the flip side, if you get Michael Shannon, you instantly have a bullet in a gun ready to fire and start a real war. Because at any point, Deadpool could be like, didn't you fucking die in that Man of Steel movie? Like, what are you doing in my movie? You know? And it's like, it's a funny playoff, because he played Zod in Man of Steel and then was rebirthed to be Doomsday.
He was in BVS as the corpse.
He was. It was actually
they brought
his
him
corpse,
back. Just
yeah.
They brought him back just to play a dead guy.
Hey, Mike Shannon, we need you to lay here and do nothing and not use any acting skills whatsoever.
Here's your money.
I mean, fucking pay me. That's what I'm saying, you know? I'll show up every day and lay on my back. That sounded wrong.
Oh,
damn. Okay.
Oh, fuck.
So, Walking Dead fans, who are not me and you, because these are Walking Dead fans who maybe don't necessarily have brains? I don't know if I want to say that, but...
Brains.
They've been asking,
oh, they're zombies.
When is Negan gonna die, right? Well, apparently, Norman Reedus teased that there may be the death of Negan as soon as the end of season 7. Doesn't make sense. We're just getting into all-out war. How can you do that? You can't. He's just playing with fans who don't know the mythos. Honestly, that's the only thing I can... I read this article, and the only thing I can see is... you know, the cast voiced their displeasures with filming season 7 because they're all apart from each other. But let's see. He said there's going to be a big turning point for the series, and that Andrew Lincoln danced with Daryl Dixon after they read the script of the finale. but it doesn't. He says, it's nice to finally let a window open up in this room and let some of this air out here. It's nice to get some freedom and dirt underneath your feet and start running towards killing this guy. So essentially, they just confirmed, hey, by the end of season 7, all-out war will start, right? We're in 7 now?
Yeah.
God, it's weird. I keep feeling like we're in 6 and we're in a time warp and we're just about to watch the finale of 6 and watch WrestleMania, but that's on in a few minutes and we're probably going to be podcasting while we watch the pre-show. Call back to last year. What do you think? There's no way they can kill Negan, right?
It doesn't make any damn sense as far as like story even goes. He's been in a few episodes this season where they really went into his character, but they just started it. So why would they turn around and just kill him right away?
Listen, Negan makes the series survive more than any other character, more than people realize. When I was in the comic, okay, and we get done with All Out War story arc and there's the fake slitting of the throat and all that stuff, the thing that kept me reading is, well, what do you do with Negan now? He's just in a cell. And then beyond that, Negan could have gotten out of that cell and he didn't do shit. And then beyond that, well, Negan could have ran off and never came back, and he didn't. He brought you the head of Alpha and all these things. Negan is what keeps the story driving. It's not, when we get on the other side of the time jump, Rick Grimes is not the lead character as much as you want him to be. Rick Grimes has been reduced to this old guy. He's not bitter. He's happy. He's got what he wanted. It's not the world he expected, but he's living happy. He's got his wife. He's got his son. He's just doing his thing. He's just chilling.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to keep everything together. But you got this guy, Negan, who's like, I'm trying to show you I'm on your fucking side, man. Let me just prove it to you. And then he does. And then he gains ground. And as we've talked about in the comics, it's the biggest, in my opinion, 180 of a character in all of comics. In superhero comic books, if the Green Goblin, who was a bad guy, becomes a good guy to help Spider-Man, it makes sense because that's just how comics work for the most part with superheroes. When a guy bashes your buddy's brain in with a baseball bat and you imprison him, and then after 3 years' time, we'll say 3.5 years' time, you free him and want him to fight on your side because he's actually a good dude and has learned from the mistakes he made, that's a fucking amazing story.
Yeah.
In and of itself. And I think that Walking Dead fans need to remember to be patient. Sometimes the show can seem slow.
That's a lie.
I think that after season 7, that's over. The slowness will be done for a while. Because I think figuring out, based on what I know, if just the first half of season 8 is all out war, I had to figure out what number it was again. If the first half of season 8 is all out war and they start the back half of either going into the time jump without time jumping
or not, or you spend the whole season, you could strike, because that was a 12 issue arc. Because how you said how the show could be slow, I think you have so many characters in this show that. In the comic, you can dedicate a couple pages to just this characterization. In the show, you can't put 5 minutes of characterization of Morgan in episode 3.
Doesn't work.
So you're gonna spread it out, and it's gonna be. I feel like it's going to last the entire season, and then we're gonna get to like. See what I want to see is, unlike in season 6 where we got the big, the cliffhanger of who does he kill. I want season 8 to end like with the slashing
of Negan's throat, and you're left with they killed him.
Yeah,
but no, they didn't. And then, oh my god, how brilliant would that be to start season 9 up, and Rick is a little bit older, and they're in Alexandria, and everything seems peaceful, you know, and he's just going about his business.
Yeah.
This is for non comic book fans of the show, and then like he walks downstairs into that cell that Morgan had created. And there's Negan, people would flip the fuck out. I mean, and that's another thing, too. You think about, like, E3 and all the different conventions coming up. We're not too far out from getting footage for season 8, like, in the summer.
Yeah, that's usually at what? At you said E3. That's a gaming convention.
I didn't mean E3. I meant SDCC.
Shit. Wrong podcast.
Wrong show. Is that a problem? We have too many podcasts. We forget which podcast we're podcasting on when we podcast.
Well, at the beginning of the Game Addict show that we did, I almost said Journey to Comics. And then right at the very end, when I was going to say the website,
you almost said
I almost said Journey to Comics again.
Well,
Because when I'm just like, when I'm in the room with you, I'm used to, it's Journey into Comics.
We or Journey into Wrestling.
Have we ever done Journey into Wrestling? We have done, it was that first episode.
The first one is here.
Was here, yeah.
It's the only one we've done together.
Together.
Yeah, but.
Maybe this year we will.
Hey, WWE teases a new Raw GM?
Yes, because on Monday they fired Mick Foley.
Damn it. Sad. It was good. The way they did it was good. It's creative. Is Mick gearing up for a maybe in-ring return?
Mick is getting ready to have a hip replacement surgery.
Oh, so they had to take him off TV. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But yeah, it's sad. It's true.
I mean,
it's
Mick,
damn true.
You took the words out of my thoughts. Damn it. That's what I was thinking too.
Bring him back, put him in this position, and get him ready for a match at SummerSlam.
Angle, absolutely.
With whoever. With if you want to do Lesnar, if you want to do Reigns, if you want to do Rollins, you want to do Triple H.
Doesn't matter, Brando. In this era, you put Kurt Angle with any of them.
With a broomstick.
You're not wrong. How awesome would it be, AJ, one more time?
Oh, dude. And okay.
The rumor is he's coming to Raw.
Because he's been officially fired from SmackDown.
Yep.
And then, I've heard he's coming to Raw before the split. And I've heard that during the draft, he's coming to Raw before the draft, and that during the draft, they may send Reigns over to SmackDown because the Cena's getting ready to go away again, and they're going to need a top guy over there.
Yeah.
And so I think the general feeling is that since he's going to be the guy that they really look to rest the company shoulder on,
yeah.
On Raw, there's a lot of guys that the fans want to cheer, or on SmackDown, not so much. So you can put the belt back on him on SmackDown. He can run the show. And then if you want to bring him back to Raw, because have you heard the rumor about they've already have penciled in next year's Mania main event? You've heard it? Okay.
Yeah, Lesnar Reigns again.
So then have Reigns spend all the rest of this year on SmackDown. Then if you really want him to, you can have him win the Rumble, challenge for Lesnar over on Raw. But like, do you have Lesnar keep the belt the whole freaking time?
No.
Do you have him get cashed in on, and then he ends up coming and getting it back?
Cash me outside? How about that?
Oh, come on.
I had to. You said that meme cash in on.
That meme is so February.
It is so February. we've moved on to the April memeing. But honestly, man, my thing is, okay, so you got AJ probably coming to Raw. Makes sense. You send Reigns to SmackDown. Makes sense. Ever since Lesnar came back, I mean, you're talking way, way back.
13.
His thought and the whole company's thought was the end result of Lesnar was to put Reigns over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they're trying to do is build this story that no one fucking cares about. I don't care about Roman Reigns with Lesnar. You're not making me interested in Roman Reigns because you're just boring me. You want me to really be a fan of Roman Reigns? Make me hate him because you want me to hate him. Make me... Like, here's my thought. Don't trade or draft Reigns to SmackDown. Have him, if you're going to have him put The Undertaker down, have him hurt The Undertaker. Make a scene of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then make Stephanie come out and be like, you crossed a line and I have to fire you. I have no other choice. And then DB and Shane can be like, that was stupid. We'll pick him up. Now he's a top heel on SmackDown. Now you have what they like, which is top heels on both shows, essentially as champ. So the good guys are fighting to take the gold back. It's kind of the theme, except for now you got Goldberg on top. Kind of changes the game a little bit. Goldberg's probably going to lose. Do you think Goldberg is going to lose to Lesnar?
Yep.
Like, almost set in stone, right?
Yep. I think he's going to lose to Lesnar. And I believe, from what I've heard, this is Lesnar's last year in the company. And that next year's Mania could be his send-off.
Well, then that makes me ask another question. Why do send-off matches have to be losses?
It's tradition.
Yeah, but it's a bad tradition. Because here's why I say that.
It's giving back. It's you.
I understand that
you
it's
are
the
putting over this guy. Basically, when you would leave a territory, you wouldn't go out winning because you're not going to be around to help draw tickets. The guy beating you is going to be held around to help draw tickets.
Correct.
Granted, with the way that the business is now, that's changed a little bit with the Lesnars and all this stuff and part-timers. For the longest time, I was of the mindset of, well, they had Undertaker lose the streak. So like, I can see them letting him win his last match. Just as they, here, you don't need to lose.
Yeah, you already lost where we probably shouldn't have.
But then it's like, I totally agree 100% to have Reigns go heel and beat The Undertaker, because he's going to get booed no matter what.
Correct.
So if he's going to get booed no matter what, make him get booed. And then and the thing is that I know a lot of like generalization of fans are just saying they need to turn Reigns, they need to turn Reigns. I just don't think that he's getting over as like the big baby face that they want him to. And I feel like there was a one point in history where the fans were behind him enough for that, but they dropped the ball with him. So what they need to do is that they need to hit the reset button with him. And as you said, turn him and get him over bad. Get him over. Make these fans hate him, because the better job that he does at getting them to hate him, when he turns back, they're going to be all for him, because they'll say, you know, I liked hating this guy so much
that I can't help but like him. It's The Rock all over again. It's
something like that, yeah.
I mean, it's even Seth Rollins all over again.
Yeah.
And that happened to Seth early in his career. You got to think, he was in the Shield, people hated him. Then by like towards the end of the Shield's run, everybody loved the Shield. Then he turned on the Shield, then they fucking hated him again. Then he was with the Authority, people still fucking hated him. Then he got hurt, and then people now adore him.
Yes.
He's like the darling of the WWE.
Oh, yeah. I personally feel, in my opinion, that he should be the face of the company. That's my opinion. I think Seth Rollins is the face. If I was running the company, he would be my top baby face. Because he wrestles a style that is very like Shawn Michaels-y.
Yeah.
To where it's like, it's hard to boo. And he has gotten so good on the mic as far as like being a heel when he needs to be a heel.
Oh, yeah.
In that like people know just by how the business is now and it's so exposed how genuine of a person he is and how good of a guy this guy is. That's also another thing that's hard to boo. So, like, in a way, he's I don't want to say he's, like literally the next John Cena that they're looking for, but I think that he is, in a way.
Without intentionally being the next John Cena or being, no offense, as kiss-assy as John Cena.
He can be pretty kiss-assy, but he's kind of earned that position to be kiss-assy.
Now he's definitely earned that position. Now, I will say, quickly, we're going to just cover a little like mini Journey into Wrestling before we go into really covering Journey into Wrestling here in a few short days. Apparently, fans on Twitter are calling out Shane McMahon because he completely missed AJ on the table bump on Tuesday's SmackDown. Have you seen SmackDown from this week?
No, I didn't watch SmackDown.
Okay, so AJ comes out and is like, fucking... what's up, everybody? I'm so happy to be here. And DB's like, you're not on my show. Get off. You know? And he's like, well, I want to talk to Shane McMahon. So he goes out to talk to Shane in the parking lot as they had done in the previous week when Shane got beat up. And he's not there. And it's Rhino and Heath Slater arriving in a vehicle. Looks like Shane. And then, like, it was really bizarre because as soon as Rhino and Slater showed up and AJ was like, where's Shane O'Mac? The cut was to Shane O'Mac's music in the arena. Like a wide shot going back down, like they had planned, like it was like from commercial or whatever. Shane comes out and then is like, okay, AJ, like come out, let's talk. And AJ's trying to apologize and all this stuff. Hey, I'm so sorry, I beat the shit on you and threw your head through a window. And then Shane just kicked the shit out of him. And then Shane took a pretty similar King of the Ring bump as he took when he did the suplex onto the into the wall, except for it was into the barrier by the ring. Or by the announcer's tables. So then he did some sort of like almost like quasi DDT-esque suplex drop on AJ. And then he threw AJ onto the table. And this is the pre-go home to WrestleMania. Raining?
Starting to rain.
Nice. Yeah. But the preamble to WrestleMania, the what do they call that? The penultimate episode of SmackDown. And Shane gets up on the top turnbuckle. And coast to coast off onto the announce table onto AJ.
Okay.
Looked awesome. He hit it flawlessly for however the fuck old Shane is now. Like, I want to say like 45 probably. He flew like it was nothing. You know, it looked like he was in his heyday. Except for his elbow was nowhere near AJ and the table falls and no one noticed it because the angle TV got looked good.
Yeah.
the angle the crowd got did not look good. And people are just like, are we going to pretend that Shane McMahon didn't miss AJ Styles? Or, oh no, Shane McMahon killed by or killed AJ Styles by landing on a table next to him. That one's the one that got me. And it got worse. Some screen critics, WWE critics, things closer to AJ Styles than Shane McMahon's landing here. The Moon, Roman Reigns, and Dixie Carter. Bruh, Shane McMahon quite can't make that leap anymore. One more year and he's going to miss that table altogether. Okay, so yeah, anyways, that's a little bit of wrestling news I have. Not too much there. There's the kind of big thing we've been saving for the end of this episode. I'm guessing we probably should get close to wrapping.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's probably, what, 20-minute drive into town?
25.
Okay, so to finish up here, the last thing we're going to do, Brando, is literally like 4 hours ago, 5 hours ago, the new...
I wonder how well this rain's coming in.
On yours, it's not picking up at all, because I can see your bars.
Okay.
And on mine, none at all also.
I just wonder.
Yeah. It smells nice. God, I love the rain. The rain. Anyways, so first of all, I just want to say we're excited to do LafayCon one more time. This is a really excellent opportunity for us, and we do appreciate everybody that's been putting that on. I know that Walk Among Us is excited. We're very busy getting our set prepared for the show. I'm excited for you to see us like officially live, like do a full set.
I am, me too.
And then I don't know how many people are going to show up to that. Doesn't matter. It's going to be a blast regardless. But to finish up with this episode, we are going to, for the first time to our eyes, watch the second trailer for the Justice League and then just kind of talk for a few minutes about it and give our thoughts. I don't know anything that's happened in this trailer. I've not seen any spoilers. We did have through the week. I don't know if you saw the Unite the Seven thing they had, which wasn't Unite the Seven. It was Unite the League. But there are five members of the Justice League, and we're missing two. Mm-hmm. One of them is clearly Superman. Mm-hmm. One of them is probably Green Lantern.
Yep.
I'm hoping in this trailer we see a tease for one of them, maybe both.
Yeah. I think Superman's a given, so I'm hoping for like a little bit of a tease for Green Lantern, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Also, I just wanted to say that while the cast is starring Ben Affleck, Henry Cavill, Guy Gadot, Ezra Miller, Jason Momoa, Ray Fisher, Ciara Hines is in there, Amy Adams, Diana Lane, Jeremy Irons, and Jesse Eisenberg are in Justice League. So we're going to get Lex again, it seems, in some capacity. I'm guessing he's probably the catalyst. It's official.
Down, isn't it? It's a little windy.
Yeah. And it's official, folks. Nightwing is going to have his solo feature in 2019. So the upcoming for DC is we've got Wonder Woman June 2nd, Justice League November 17th. The Batman is expected in 2018 if they can actually get a script written and actually have a Batman to play him. The Flash debuts March 23rd of 2018. Aquaman is October 5th of 2018. And then, like I said, Nightwing is in 2019. So let's get to watching this, brand. No, we're not going to watch it because this is not loading. So I'm going to have to go to the YouTubes. Brandon, is there anything else you wanted to add before we get into the Justice League? Anything we can kind of kill a few minutes on while I get this pulled up?
You know, the one reason why I'm behind on Walking Dead is because I've been playing Mass Effect Andromeda, and that game has gotten some pretty harsh reviews. And by the time you're hearing this, I do assume I will have talked about it over on Game Addicts as well, probably in a lot more detail. But I'll just give you my quick rundown thoughts right now. I don't think it deserves as much hate as it's getting. There are some issues with the game as far as like some bugs and some of the animations are kind of wonky. But I mean, this is coming from a guy that played the first one, and maybe we should be expecting more from on that front for games that are on the current gen. But honestly, I think it plays just fine. The gameplay is great. The story is pretty so-so at this point. I'm a good number of hours in. I want to say maybe I'm a quarter of the way done with the game. But, yeah, I think we're ready to watch this trailer now.
Dude, this trailer's 5 minutes and 19 seconds
Jeez.
Long. So.
Yeah, we need to get going.
We're going to finish this up real fast here, folks. We're going to watch this trailer, give our gut reactions, and we'll talk more at LaFeeCon.
Yeah.
Not what you expect. It's a guy on a horse. Oh, this looks like the first trailer. They added it to the end. Maybe? We'll see. Yeah, this is part of the first trailer, too. Talk. This is definitely the first trailer. Okay, so...
So, it wasn't 5 minutes long.
It wasn't. They just banded the two together. Okay, so, couple things I quickly want to say that I noticed. mainly about The Flash. Because he's my go-to talking point. So it looks like Barry is almost in full control of the Speed Force. Color of his lightning indicates that. When you have pure white lightning, you're fully one with the Speed Force. When you're yellow lightning, you're still learning how to use your powers. And it seems there he's like that bluish-white, hot white color. It also had a little teaser that Henry Allen, Barry's father, is in jail for the murder of Nora Allen, which we know isn't true, which means... They're saying, without saying, the Reverse Flash is a part of the DC Extended Universe, which is interesting. I can't wait. It looked good, Brando.
It does look pretty good. but there's that. You know, BVS looked pretty good, too, kind of aspect. So I'm not saying that, and you know, and we've said that we've been a lot kinder on BVS than some other people have been. This looks pretty damn good to me. We didn't get anything that we hoped for. This is more of like an extension of like the original trailer, which with a movie coming out in November,
yeah,
still pretty like pretty good ways away. So, you know, it's not necessarily that like that we aren't going to get another trailer, because I think we will when we get closer to probably to, you know, Comic-Con.
Yeah, definitely probably have a trailer around SDCC. They'll probably do a huge panel talking about the extended universe of the DC. We got to see Mara from the Atlantis in that trailer. Amber Heard, I think, is playing Mara. Overall, it looks really good. There's nothing I can really say that I'm complaining about. The thing with BVS was, while the movie trailers looked good, there were things we could noticeably pick together that were like, we're not really cool with that. Mm-hmm. Like, you're rushing all these things, And it's weird because you rushed all those things, but now I'm like, I can't wait to see that one.
Right, yeah.
Like, BVS happened. I'm past it. I want to see this one, you know?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. It looks pretty good. Yeah, hopefully it stays that way.
It absolutely does. All right, folks. Well, we got a rush here. We've got a lot of other things going on this week in Journey into Comics World. Do not forget to come out to LafayCon April 1st at the Market Square Center.
It's like the Market Square
Place Center.
The place is called Carnahan Hall.
Okay.
That's where the con is going to be at. So if you search Carnahan Hall on Google, I just did it. They get you right there.
Oh, excellent, excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Brando, did you have anything else to add?
Nothing, man. I'm good.
All right. Well, this was episode 131 of Journey into Comics. Make sure to check us out on our different social medias. You know where to find us. Until next time, I'm Nate.
I'm Brando.
And we'll see you guys later.